Right. Without any further ado, I want us to welcome right now, as we are going to be discussing a case study. Let me turn the service over to Pastor Cruz. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, can you just say something? Just say
Hear you
something.
clearly, Pastor.
All right. So you are going to be sharing with us just in a few minutes. We allow people to take questions. Maybe next week we'll have a discussion. So you'll be sharing with us tonight. Can you just introduce what you're sharing? And please, you've got the pulpit. Just fire on.
Yeah, I'm continuing in our current study, which is the solution is in the problem. And I'm looking at the case study of Abraham when God tried him and asked him to sacrifice Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, I'm just going to read the first two verses and then we're going to talk from there. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. Now, this was an instruction from God, and this signified a point of strong trial for Abraham. One of the things I did when I was trying to review this Bible reading was to go look at what was Abraham doing prior to this trial. If you go back a chapter into chapter 21, Abraham had just given back to Isaac. They've weaned Isaac. Isaac was growing up. And God gave him an instruction to send away Hagar and Ishmael, which was the son of the concubine, Hagar. And just before chapter 22, Abraham had just found peace with his neighbors. So it seemed like as if, I mean, Isaac was the child of promise, which took more than 2 decades for Abraham to have. That's the son of Sarah. And it looked like as if things were all rosy. The promise has finally come. The concubine and the son had been sent out, and he has just made peace with people around him. So how come is it that suddenly a trial befell him? And one of the things I remember clearly was something that Pastor Reverend Song said. He said that when the examinations of life come, that it makes an assumption that you are ready, and that everyone's fate will stand trials at a point in time. And whether one will fail will depend on what you have done over the whole period when God has been bringing you in the journey of faith. For Abraham, he has been coming on a journey of faith right from when God called him from Haran and told him to move into the land of the Philistines in Canaan. And it's been a life and a journey of faith. Waiting on for the child of promise has been a journey of faith. And this was a period where God said, sacrifice that only son, the one that you've got, that you love the most. The second thing that came to my mind is, what is that thing that I love so much that I hold on to that makes, for me, it means a lot to me? Is there something that is in my life that I really, really hold on to and God is asking for from me at this moment? If you look at the text, if you read 1 Corinthians 10:13, just talking about trials and temptations again, there it was said, there has no temptation taken you but such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. When trials and temptations come as Christians, what do we do? How do we react? And one of the things I'm going to talk about is just to have a quick snap view of a quick preview into the life of Abraham and how Abraham reacted. The first thing I realized was number one, in verse 3, the Bible just told us that, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young children, and he went on in obedience to obey God. And one of the things I ask myself, because I like to look at the applications of the Bible in this current age, I mean, to my day-to-day life, Normally, if it was me that God sent that word to, I was asking myself, will I still be contemplating? Would I be praying? Would I first of all call pastor to want to ask him for his guidance? How would I react? Would I cast it and say, no, this is a promise from God. It was the devil that was trying to reach out to me. It wasn't God. But Abraham knew how God speaks to him. He understood what God was saying to him. He has been hearing God consistently for the past 2 decades. So he knew when God was speaking to him. He did not resist. He did not pray. He did not try to ask God why. He set on that journey to obey God, to honor God. And he made preparation to honor God. The third thing that came to mind was God told him that he would tell him the mountain where he would make the sacrifice. He said he would tell him specifically the mountain where he would make the sacrifice. And one of the things I thought about is, for him, in the period of trial, when he was going to sacrifice a son that's taken him almost 2 decades or 25 years to be able to have, and then God is telling him that you still have to be very attentive to it, to hear my word, to know exactly where the trial is going to be at. That is a big ask. Because one thing that tends to happen is when we go to trials, we tend to shut off. Most times we are so overwhelmed by the trial that we can't even hear God. We can't even hear ourselves. But here, God was saying to Abraham that even in this trial, your attention must be on point. You have to be able to hear me clearly because I'm going to tell you the exact mountain where you're going to offer this sacrifice. You're not just going to go to a random place, and I'm not telling you ahead of time. All I've just told you is go and sacrifice. And when you get close to that mountain, I'm going to show you where exactly it is. That's quite profound. It tells me that when I'm going through a period of trial, I have to be very attentive. I have to be able to hear step by step what God is saying. My mind must be open to the instructions of God, to be able to hear clearly what God is telling me per time regarding the situation where I'm in. The other thing that came to mind was when Isaac asked Abraham in verse 7, he asked his father, he said, "Behold the fire and wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" This was a very realistic question from Isaac because he understood the order by which his father had made sacrifices, maybe over the period when he was growing up. He understood the fact that if there's wood, if there's fire, most likely it's a sacrifice that is going to be made. But one thing that Abraham said in verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for burnt offering." So they both went on. That was quite interesting because I asked myself the question. I said, was Abraham just trying to distract Isaac? Or was he trying not to scare him? Or was he a prophetic reply? Or did he really believe in his heart that God was going to provide a lamb in reality? But one conclusion that I made was in all that Abraham did during the trial, he spoke in faith. He only spoke the words of faith. He spoke about the lamb being to be provided by God. And I ask myself, sometimes when I'm in trials, do I speak the faith or do I talk about the reality of the situation where I'm in? Or do I speak the truth in the word of God? Am I so focused on just saying what exactly I'm being faced with, trying to explain it out, trying to talk about how the situation is so terrible, trying to talk to as many people as possible about what is going on around my life? Oftentimes, we need to be able to understand the truth about the situation where we are going through. And that was what Abraham displayed. He understood the fact that God provides. Over the course of the period when he's been walking with God, God had always provided for him. So he knew that God can provide. He knew that God was a God who would not let him down, because it's been a God that he's worked with consistently over a period of time. Sometimes when I go through trials and temptations, some of the lessons I learned from this, I tend to forget about the past things that God has done. Here, Abraham relied solely on God. And even in his speech was seasoned with grace. And he spoke faith throughout the period. In verse 9 to 10, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. And built and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. One thing that is quite interesting is in a typical application of this into our real life when we have issues is when we have issues, do we remember to build an altar to God? An altar is a symbol of honor and worship to God. It's a symbol of the place of sacrifice. Do we build an altar unto God or do we build an altar unto the problem? I realized, and for this, I asked God for forgiveness, that sometimes when I'm in trouble, I make a mountain out of the trouble. It's more or less like as if I build an altar around the trouble. I want to worship the trouble, but that was not what Abraham did. And I'm taking the lesson out of Abraham to say, when I'm in a trouble, when I'm in a trial, I should build an altar. What God told him was to go and sacrifice the son. And if you continue to read into verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He took the knife to slay his son. He had that intention of giving up his son. He laid what mattered most to him on the altar to God. Can I lay what matters most to me on the altar to God? Can you lay what matters most to you on the altar to God? Is it a job? Is it a child? Is it whatever it is? Is it money? Is it finances? Is it our health? Whatever it is that matters the most to you, can you lay it down to God on our altar and give it as a burnt sacrifice? Give it, when you give a burnt sacrifice, it means you have given it completely, completely to God, not expecting anything back. Are we able to do that even in the times of trials and temptations? The Bible makes us to understand in Hebrews 11, 17. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he received the promises offered up. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. The Bible recorded that he completely gave him. If the angel did not stop him in verse 11, he would have probably just given Isaac as a sacrifice to God. And mind you, at this point, before God tested him, he had already taken away Ishmael. So everything that was like a hope for him, everything that was, would have probably been like, oh, Abraham would have offered Isaac probably because he still had Ishmael. That was out of the way. This was everything he had hoping, and he laid it down on the altar. One thing that came to mind also was the fact that Isaac was not a young child. Isaac was old enough to be able to carry the wood and the fire. So it wasn't a young child, but Isaac laid down there on that altar. And one of the things that I learned, Pastor taught me over the past few years, he talked about a living sacrifice. Because I asked myself that a typical young lad in this modern age would not stay on the altar waiting for the father to want to use a knife to sacrifice him. But I'm not sure what Abraham told Isaac. And I'm not sure what connected in the life of Isaac that made him to stay there. But it brought about an understanding of what was said in Romans 12:1 in a typical application to our own life. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. In this place, Isaac had a free will to be able to jump out to push his dad off. His dad was old. And he was young. He could have run away. He could have left up that place. But more or less, he stayed there before the angel came up. Am I presenting myself as a living sacrifice to God? That was a question I asked myself here. Am I presenting my body, my everything that matters to me? Am I presenting it to God as a living sacrifice? It's quite important for us to ask ourselves these questions. And these were the questions that I asked. But in verse 11 to 13, we saw Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven. And the angel of the Lord told him not to touch his child. That was in verse 11 to 12. But in verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram was caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering. One thing was quite interesting. Even in the time when Abraham was locked in a period of trial, he still had that moment where he looked up. He was able to look, was able to behold. Sometimes the troubles and the trials of life might cloud our eyes, not to make us able to see the solution that God has already provided. Here, the ram was there already. The ram did not just appear after Abraham got there. The ram was there even before Abraham. God had already made the provision, and God kept the ram in place. But Abraham had to lift his eyes and look. Are we lifting up our eyes and looking even when we are in a situation? Or do we just close our eyes and we just sit in that situation and we just revel in that situation? These are some of the lessons that we need to learn from the story of Abraham. And afterwards, after Abraham did all that, the blessing came. Because in the next verse, from 15 to 18, the angel of the Lord came the second time. And he made a covenant with Abraham, a lasting covenant. And this is a result of when you give ourselves to God totally, even in trials and temptations, where we release ourselves totally to God. God makes a covenant with his children. No matter what you're faced with today, in all that we do, there's a solution for that problem, which God had provided ahead of time. Just like we saw in the story of Abraham, where the ram was already on that mount. The first thing that Abraham had to do was he had to be calm and attentive, even when he was going through a trial. He had to be able to, he had to know what was going on around him. He had to be able to hear God clearly. Because if you don't hear God clearly, you won't be able to see the instruction per time. You won't be able to know the location of where the trial is. You won't be able to see even the provision that's been made. And this is just like a quick summary, a quick recap of the story of Abraham and how God provided for him, even when he was going through the trial of sacrificing Isaac. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you for that. Really, really picked up some nuggets from there. So I'm kind of mindful of the time, and I know our brother Ezekiel is loaded, another dimension from Moses. What's going to happen is our brothers are coming back with me next week also. So wherever we get to today, as Uncle Ezi introduces the case study of Moses, we'll probably pick up from there next week and take the questions and answer. Thank you very much, Uncle Damola. Ezekiel, you've got the altar fire on, sir.
Evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Uncle Damola, for sharing the wisdom, God's wisdom from Abraham's story. I'll be looking at the case study of Moses, finding the solution in the problem. Very quickly, if you turn with me, because of our time, I'll just ask us to look at Exodus chapter number 14, reading from verse 13. They get to the Red Sea. Moses, a classic dilemma for a leadership, whether you're a mother, a father, a child, a pastor at work, is a classical leadership problem. Where you're leading people and you're directing people, whether it's your life or any other area of responsibility, and you are faced with the Red Sea, a difficult obstacle in front of you, what do you do? First and foremost, I like to toe the line that the scripture mentions in Deuteronomy chapter 20, when God was giving the children of Israel the law of warfare. He said the first person that's meant to come and speak is the priest. The priest should come and encourage the people and speak the word of God to them. Then the next person that should come out is the general. And the first thing the general says is, if you are fearful, if you're afraid, please go home. So I'll just dive into it and look at that classical situation. What was the first thing that confronted Moses? He had a few options. I've written them down. Some of the options Moses had and we have when we're faced with problem is we could scatter. you know, he was in front of the Red Sea with the people, the army of the Egyptians, Pharaoh was attacking, in front was the Red Sea. What should he do? He can tell the people to scatter, or he can surrender, turn back, easy option, just surrender to Moses. Or option number three, he and the people could swim across. Imagine everybody trying to swim across. Four is they could hire a boat, maybe a large vessel, but they didn't have one. Number five is they could actually fly. They could hop on a plane, a chopper, and fly across. Six, they could stand and fight. But considering the fact that there were children, there were women, people who weren't trained in warfare, they couldn't stand and fight. Or they could try and slow the Egyptians down by putting, you know, pans and pots or sharp instrument objects to slow down the advance of the horses, but that could only slow them down. That can only slow them down. It wouldn't really stop them. Or they could pray, which was, and which is not usually the easiest option to go for, especially when the challenge seems overwhelming. But Moses decided to pray, and he went to God in prayer. So the first thing I would say, it's in us trying to find solutions that God has hidden in the problems that we face and the dealing challenges, is to pray. And, you know, prayer is not, you know, it's not a spiritual, it's not a religious exercise. It's basically conversation with God. Why should we pray, you might ask? I'll give you a few scriptures. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. He will answer. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 says, he is an ever-present help in trouble. God is our strength, is our refuge. He is an ever-present, present help in trouble. And the Bible says also in Psalm 65, verse 2, he who answers prayers to you shall all men come. God answers prayers. And that's so reassuring and so encouraging, that when we talk to God, the veil, the partition has been broken. The veil has been torn. Jesus, with Christ, we have access into the most holy place. We have access to God. So we can actually pray. So that was what Moses did. And what was the next thing that Moses encountered? It was the word of God. When we have challenges and when we're faced with problems and when we pray, the next thing we should do while praying is to engage with the word of God. That is the solution. Jesus is the answer. We should engage with the word of God. You see in verse number 13 of Exodus 14, Moses started to recount the word of God, started to encourage himself and the Lord, started to encourage the people with the word of God. He wasn't giving them statistics of the number of people that have died from COVID. He wasn't giving them the economic forecast. He was simply giving them the word of God. Why do we need to engage with the word of God? Because he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. The word of God contains the spirit of God. And he started engaging with the word of God. And he said something. He said, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. One of the things that the word of God does for us when we pray and engage his word is that we encounter the Prince of Peace. So in that, and I'll tell us why peace is so important. In the midst of the crisis, if you don't have a clear head and a calm spirit, you make the wrong decisions. When you're panicking, you know, what do we do? The children were crying, the women were confused. What do you do? It's easy for you to jump into the sea and you drown, but you need the Prince of Peace in times of crisis to be able to find the solution to the problem. Next thing is to engage with the Holy Spirit. Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, that we have the spirit not of that is from the, of this world, but the spirit that is from God, to know the things that have been freely given. We need to get engaged with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will tell you the things that God has freely given you. Why is that important? When Moses engaged with the Holy Spirit in the word, because remember, the word is the spirit of God. God reminded him in the book of Exodus chapter 4 when he encountered God on the mountain. God actually gave him a rod. He came with the rod and God spoke to him about the rod. He said, what do you have in your hand? If you read Exodus 4, 1 to 17, he said, what do you have in your hand? The rod, the shepherd's rod. He said, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground, it became a snake. He said, pick it up by detail. He picked it up. He said, with this, you will do miracles. And God said to him, go with this. With this rod, you're going to do miracles. And it's important for us to know the rod. Remember, he was a shepherd at the time. And God has given each and every one of us a gift. Bible said, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, when Jesus rose from the dead, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. There is a gift in us. There is a gift in every one of us. And that gift will manifest in the time of crisis, in the times of problem. And what the Holy Spirit does is to remind you the gift that you have been given. It could be gift of dreams. It could be the gift of talking. It could be any gift. I don't know what gift God has given you. And it's important for us to engage with the Holy Spirit in the midst of crisis. And then it's also important for us to listen out for the word of God. Importantly, most importantly, where you pray is usually not where God sometimes speaks to you. You might pray in the morning, go out in the day, and in the course of the day, some of the questions you asked God or some of the things you asked God begins to manifest in the day. It might not be where you prayed. And it's important for you to bear that in mind. You engage with God, you engage with the Holy Spirit, then you step out by faith. Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 29, that they crossed the Red Sea by faith. They crossed the Red Sea by faith. So crossing your challenge, crossing the obstacle can only be by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And faith is just confidence in God. So you've prayed, you've engaged with the word of God, you engage with the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, reminding you things that you might have forgotten. And it's important for us also to listen out for instruction when we face problems. Listen out for instruction. God might tell you, go and read that law book again. Mm-hmm. Go and look at that analysis again. Go and talk to this person about your problem. It could be a medical problem. Go and see your GP. Get an opinion. And in stepping out, because what happened in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, God said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Say to the children of Israel, go forward. Why would God be telling you to go forward when you don't have the money to acquire or to solve the problem that is in front of you? And God is telling you to go forward. That is God's classic example. He always tells you to go forward. Why does he tell you to go forward? Again, you need context. Exodus chapter 6, verse 4, God says that he is going to set them up. He's going to take them to the land of promise, to Cana. So they were on a journey going forward, and he was reminding them to keep going forward. So I don't know what that means to you, but in a crisis, don't go backwards, because the word of God says, they that go back, that draw back, my soul will not delight in them. Keep going. Don't give up. A lot of people are committing suicides. A lot of people are giving up because they feel, oh, the problem is too much. The challenge is too much. But God is saying, go forward. Remember, he's your ever-present help in times of trouble. Go forward. Knock again. Step forward. Step on the sea. It was only when they stepped forward that they saw God do great miracles. And God reminded Moses to stretch forth his rod. It's important for us also to engage with God. He says, stretch forth your rod. And when he stretched forth his rod, the Bible said, and God caused the great wind to push back the sea. If he didn't stretch forth his rod in obedience, because stretching forth the rod wasn't what solved the problem, it was his obedience to the word of God. You see that again through our scripture. They get to the wedding in Cana of Galilee. There was no wine. The wine finished. Jesus says to the people, fill the water pots with water, water pots with water. It doesn't make sense, but they just obeyed the instruction. they get to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus says to them, because remember, he always knows what to do. He asked Philip, give them bread. He said, how are we going to feed these people? Jesus said, the Bible said he asked the question because he knew what he was going to do. Jesus knows what he's going to do, but he needs you to obey the instruction, obey the direction. He could say, pray. He could say, fast. He could say, call this person. He could say, make your application. Maybe you don't even qualify, or maybe you feel you don't meet the quota, or maybe you feel the door has, you know, the time has closed, and he tells you to do something. Sounds stupid sometimes, but if you're going to experience the solution and the problem, just obey. Just obey the Lord. And it's also important for us to engage with the Lord, because he would ask us questions. Sometimes it is in asking the Lord questions, not questioning him, not questioning and, you know, doubting and, you know, trying to challenge him, because that was what the children of Israel did. They said, oh, you should have left us in Egypt. You should have left us in our problem. But he wants you to engage. You see that example with Job. He came and he was engaging with Job. Engaging. God wants to engage with you. He wants you to think, to meditate. That is why the word of God says, meditate on the word. Ask the Lord, oh Lord, how, like Mary said, how can these things be? I'm a virgin. I've never slept with any man. How am I going to have a baby? And the Lord said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. So when you are faced with problems or you're in difficult places, to find the solution, because the solution is right there with us, engage with the Lord. Ask him. Ask him, Lord, what do I do? Lord, I'm confused. I'm at my wit's end. This thing is overwhelming. I don't know what to do. I've tried. I'm trying to reconcile with my family. Everyone is turned their backs on me. What do I do? So let's always engage with the Lord in worship and in humility and in honesty. Let's be very sincere with the Lord, you know, because there are some problems that he will tell you and I, we are the cause. You know, we see that with David, that because killed the Gibeonites, or Saul killed the Gibeonites, that's why famine has come. I believe I got that right. And this is what you should do next. So sometimes the challenges we face are our own making, but God is merciful and he wants to give us the solution. Like Pastor said, because of our time, I'll press the pause button here. I hope he's blessed someone, and I hope you're beginning to just reflect on these things and find solutions that God has hidden in the problems that we face. Amen.
Wow. Thank you very much for that. You know, just listening to what you shared, it's like, you know, amplifying what Damola also shared before. When you look at the similarities between Abraham and Moses, you know, you kept emphasizing engaging, which when you really look at it, it is in the place of altar. Like Damola said, you build an altar, you have an altar where you are always communing with God. You know, one powerful takeaway for me here is in every moment of any trial or trouble, we must not disconnect. We must keep that engagement, you know, fellowshipping with the Word, with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, always being in that place where we can always hear God. And one key thing we see with Abraham, Moses, from what you guys shared, they simply followed God's instructions, because they were in a place where they could hear God. Wow. Thank you very much. We can't give everything tonight. We have to keep everyone hungry. You know what? I will say this. Next Thursday, you don't want to miss it, because we've shared principles tonight. Damola, thank you very much for what you shared about Abraham. Ezekiel, thank you very much. You know, we've listened to principles tonight. Next week, by the grace of God, the men of God will be back here with me. And we will be looking at the application of these principles when we take practical questions, you know, practical questions. And we will trust the Holy Spirit to actually give us the instruction. You know, we put all these things to practice where we can guide and point people, of course, back to God, but to solutions based on the principles of what we've had tonight. My notes are full, and if people who are watching the comment section, I was putting out the nuggets I was receiving. So the beautiful thing about the internet is that they say the internet does not forget. So please, we can scroll back, look at these things, and we will return next week powerfully, questions and answers. And I will say this, please do not wait till next week to send your questions. You can send them now, and prayerfully we will start praying, or we can even engage with you like we've learned tonight. We can engage with you all through the week. Uncle Damola is there, Uncle Ezekiel is there. You can always contact them also based on the things shared tonight. So thank you very much. We've come to the end of this powerful case study. We've looked at principles. Next week, it will be the application. So you don't want to miss that. And this also will be edited and put on YouTube. A producer who's hiding behind the scene there will do a thorough job. So thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you. So let's just have a word of prayer before I just round up with a few announcements. Okay, Father, we just thank you. It is the entrance of your word that brings light. And Lord, you make your word also simple to the you give understanding to the simple. Lord, in the simplicity of your word, you've spoken to us tonight. Holy Spirit, amplify these words. I pray right now, Lord, for someone watching this. Lord, may they have full understanding of the principles shared from Abraham and from Moses' trials tonight. And Holy Spirit, guide them. I pray ears will be opened. I pray understanding hearts will be opened, will be enlightened. We will know what we ought to do. Father, thank you as you will open up everyone's eyes to see right inside the problem lies the solution. Father, thank you. And Lord, as we've heard tonight, you have put a gift inside every one of us. There's something we have already. And it is in the time of trials, the time of tribulations, that these gifts will manifest. I pray every one of us will manifest that which you've given us already. In Jesus' name,